Have any of you ever wondered what heaven looks like? Now, what about what the church looks like, or at least what is the church supposed to look like? Now, to understand what something is, we must know what it means. We must know the definition, right? If you look up on Google the definition of the church, it says, a building used for public Christian worship. But that's not exactly right, is it? We as Christians know that it's not the building that's the church, it's the people. The real definition is the called out ones. Now, turn to Psalm 95, verse 6. It says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. So it says us, we. So we are the called out ones. And that's the purpose of the church, for us to bow down and worship to God. And we are the church, the people in the church. And that's what this building is used for today. For God saved us from darkness and offered us a light. John 3:17 says, For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So we, the church itself, must worship as one and as a family, which would get me to my next point. We are a family. We're a church family. In Ephesians 3, 14 through 15, if you would turn there, it reads, For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So, we are the children, and God is the Father, right? Now, I'm sure there are a lot of fathers out here today in the church, and you probably want your children to do as you say and follow your instructions, right? Because like you fathers, God is the shepherd of his children. We are God's children, and we as a Christian family must obey and worship him as he would like us to, and he will guide us through the darkness. Psalm 107, verse 14 says, He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. So, if we as a church put our faith in him, he'll guide us out of the darkness. He's the best father that we could ever have. And as a family, we must worship as God instructs us and keep worship sacred, and he will not let us down. Another thing we need to remember is to keep sacred, though, in the church is the Lord's communion, which gets me to my next point. We must keep the Lord's Supper sacred. 1 Corinthians 10:16 through 17 says, The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. So, like I said, we need to keep church sacred, and the mindset on the Lord's Supper also needs to be the right mindset. We are eating from a representation of the flesh and blood of Jesus. I think a lot of the time people in the church, including myself, we forget what it means, really, the communion. And we need to be thinking the right things. In Acts 20, verse 28, if you would turn there, it says, Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, he, of course, is Jesus. What we really need to keep in mind when we take part in the communion is the blood that Jesus shed for us and our sins and how he fell on the cross. When we eat the bread, we need to remember we're eating a representation of part of the body of Christ. Now, the body that he shed for us on the cross. But we are all part of the body of Christ, which would get me into my next point. The body of Christ is the church. 1 Corinthians 12:26 through 28, if you turn there, says, And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. So the Bible is referenced as a body, and it's also referred to, the Bible also refers to the church as a temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16 to 17. It says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So we are instructed to not defile the temple of God, which is the church, for it is our place of worship. It is holy. Now, I'm sure you've heard the expression, your body is a temple, right? So we should treat our bodies as such. Well, God wishes the same for his church. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, turn there. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So it's saying, which belongs to God. Our bodies do not belong to us. It belongs to God. And the church belongs to God. And we are the church. So we are to treat our body and the church as a temple, as God instructs us. So, in conclusion, God and the Bible have clear, very clear expectations of what the church should be and how we should act, and what we should be keeping in mind as we serve God. And it is only up to us as the church if we are to live up to that expectation. Thank you.